This is the Prepaid Podcast, brought to you by PrepaidReviews.com. Welcome to the Prepaid Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Polakowski. Now, normally we don't cover a lot of hard news on the Prepaid Podcast because we do it monthly, and we want to save the space for more in-depth talks about the industry in general. But over the weekend, we started to hear some stronger rumors surface of the possible Virgin Mobile Helio merger. Actually, it didn't really come in the form of a merger at all. Instead, the rumors this weekend were that Virgin would basically absorb Helio from SK Telecom, who has invested hundreds of millions of dollars in Helio. Once again, what we're hearing is a rumor, so it's hard to find any substance throughout this, but I'll go over the basics of what we're hearing. We're starting with Virgin completely taking over Helio. There's no word on whether Virgin will allow Helio handsets to operate on the network, but I would assume that would be a good business deal, since Helio customers aren't going to want to downgrade their pretty nifty Helio phones to Virgin's mobile selection. That isn't to say that Virgin Mobile has a poor phone selection. Some people actually prefer their phone selection. But the devices at Helio are a premium. They were a part of the big part of the reason why the service had any kind of success. And I just can't see anyone really taking well to the fact that they have to take their awesome Ocean and pick up a wild card or some other phone of that nature. This wasn't really mentioned in the rumors, though from the tone of them I kind of picked it up, that it doesn't seem like Virgin will absorb Helio's calling plans in any way. I had conjectured at the beginning of these rumors that maybe Virgin was going to use this as an opportunity to start offering a postpaid service in addition to their prepaid service, as they do with Virgin Mobile Canada. That's still a possibility, of course, since we really don't have much substance to the rumors, but judging by the tone of what's being said, this is probably looking to be a really quick swap. We'll make an announcement before the end of the week. And once again, the rumor is that this will be more of an absorption by Virgin Mobile from SK Telecom rather than a merger, any kind of co-brand, or an absorption of plans, phones, and rates. It's at this point, though, not at the beginning of the rumors, that I'm beginning to wonder what Virgin Mobile stands to gain from this deal. Are they going to absorb all of Helio's customers? I would assume that that's the plan between Virgin and SK Telecom, that a good number of Helio customers are going to opt for a different service, possibly going to Sprint, who is starting to offer some better phones in order to up the hype on their data services. Speaking of Virgin Mobile, they lead right into our first interview of this month's edition of the Prepaid Podcast. I'm here now with Jane Wallace, Vice President of Corporate Communications at Virgin Mobile USA. How are you, Jane?
I'm good. How about you, Joe?
I'm doing great this afternoon. Now, we'll start off on the MVNO front, since it seems to be a hot topic on the Prepaid Podcast. Times seem tough for virtual operators. Do you think that being an early adopter has allowed Virgin Mobile to strive while so many others have failed?
I think that's probably part of it, but I think more importantly is that when we did start, we knew early on that it wasn't going to be easy and that there were certain elements that had to be in place from the beginning. One of those, of course, is having, you know, a strong brand identity. And there are some other companies that came into the business with that. But what we also had were things like a very strong distribution footprint, having our products out there in the marketplace. You know, we're in over 40,000 major retailers like Circuit City and Target and Radio Shack and Best Buy. We're available online. And then our top-up cards are in more than 140,000 doors. So since we didn't have carrier stores, we had to make sure that distribution, you know, was going to be something that worked for us, and it did. Another really key element was exclusive content when we started. We had, you know, deals with MTV and Comedy Central, and then, you know, kept providing really fun, new, innovative things for our customers, like Sugar Mama, which is a project that we started that lets people watch advertising content online and earn airtime for their time. So for every minute of advertising they watch, they get a free minute of airtime. So constantly coming up with innovative things like that. And then one of the other important things is definitely focusing on customer service. You know, Virgin companies in general are very customer-centric, and we certainly continue that tradition. And, you know, so having a really strong customer service program, making sure that, you know, the customer always comes first and always looking for ways to make sure that that's happening. And, you know, we've won J.D. Power Awards and had other accolades about our customer service. So I think a big thing about the, our success is the combination of that, of all those things. And to go into the market with one of those things makes it difficult for other companies.
All right. Now, you guys, specifically, I remember Dan Shulman was citing the economic turndown, the economic downturn, as being a reason why we haven't seen increased growth from Virgin Mobile in the past couple months. Do you think there's any point where, now, well, I should say that I know a big reason for it is that your target demographic is being crunched the hardest in this time.
Right.
Do you ever see a point, if this continues, where, you know, a demographic, say, slightly above where you are, starts to ditch their contract services and Virgin Mobile picks up business because people want to save money and not make that long-term commitment?
Well, we certainly believe that that's a possibility, strong possibility of happening. I think more and more we are closing the gap between the kinds of features and benefits that people, got from traditional carriers and from signing contracts, and what you can get with prepaid. You know, we have rolled out plans that have roll forward minutes. We have unlimited nights and weekends. We have nights and weekends starting at 7 p.m. We have unlimited messaging. I mean, we're, you know, kind of putting in the kinds of benefits that people used to think I can only get if I sign a contract. You have the FCC, looking into early termination fees. And you have more and more people who don't have a credit card or, you know, can't get a credit history, can't pass a credit check. And so in addition to the economy being a problem, I think more and more, like the rest of the world, I think, you know, we're trying to educate more Americans to say you don't have to sign a contract to get the best in wireless.
Now, I know you just mentioned the roll-forward minutes, which is a relatively new feature for Virgin Mobile. Have you guys seen a heavy adoption of that? I would think so, just given that it's, you know, it gives customers some more incentive to sign up. But have you guys noticed a positive response since you have introduced it?
We just rolled it out, really, through the second quarter. We announced at the beginning of March, and then it's been rolling out into retail, where the trend is very positive. And hopefully, you know, when we look at our second quarter numbers, we'll be able to say that, you know, that we know people want them. But we launched it obviously knowing, talking to our customers and knowing that that was something that they were looking for. And so we were able to make it work in our plans. We have the flexibility of letting people pay by the minute, which is kind of what, you know, prepaid or pay as you go was typically. But we also introduced our monthly plans for people who are comfortable with that monthly budget, you know, saying, oh, okay, I'm going to spend $34.99 a month and I'm going to get so many minutes. If they choose to register a credit card, for example, and put it on automatic payment, they have the same convenience as a contract in the sense that they don't have to worry about the bill. It's just, you know, being charged every month. But they also have the option of not doing that. They have the option of paying for that monthly plan with cash. And they also, of course, with prepaid, have the flexibility to change their plan anytime they need to. I think, one of the other things that Dan mentioned when he did the earnings call recently was that we have a large percentage of people, of the people who churn, of people who have left us in the fourth quarter and first quarter, who did not leave us to go to competitors, but left us to get because they were giving up wireless because they couldn't afford it. Now, if you're in that situation in a contract, you're screwed. You still have to pay that penalty. With a prepaid phone, even with, you know, great handsets, great service, great data services, You can stop if you need to stop, and there's certainly more and more people that we're hearing right now, you know, in throughout the country, are making choices about do I pay for my fill up my gas tank or do I pay my, you know, for my wireless phone.
And it seems like one of your greatest virtues, being prepaid, is kind of working against you in that regard, which is very unfortunate.
I mean, you mean against us in terms of who the demo is?
Yeah, in terms of you're seeing people drop their cell phone service completely, and that's hurting you, and they're dropping it because of the very reason that helps you guys with
right,
no commitments.
But it does balance. I think there's a balance there, like I said, that of people who are you know, learning that they don't have to sign a contract and learning that they can, you know, come on board if they have to stop or just lower the price of their plan. They can do that at any time without any penalty. They can, you know, come on and activate an account with Virgin Mobile with no activation fees. You know, they're not paying roaming charges. So, you know, even if they choose to do the pay-as-you-go, least expensive way to go, because they're not using their phone a lot, you know, they still can have wireless service or, you know, have the phone to use as they need. The other thing that we're seeing, which I think is no surprise at all, is an uptick in texting. More and more people are adopting it anyway. It's cheaper than calls in some cases. So we're, you know, people have our texting plan, which is $9.99 for 1,000 messages. Actually, we include texting, IM, email, and photo. So they get 1,000 a month. That's a pretty good deal and a good way to stay in touch with people.
Yeah, I've noticed that messaging plans, people I talk to are really high on messaging plans, and especially on the messaging-heavy phones. I know I'm in an organization with someone who just raves about his Kyocera Wildcard. Can we expect to see more of, with the future phones that are going to be released by Virgin Mobile, can we expect to see a more QWERTY keyboard-heavy lineup?
We'll continue to do, you know, both. There's no question that the QWERTY keyboard is very popular, and popular among people who text, which certainly is a big portion of our customer base, and more people. I mean, I think when we first launched the Switchback, which is going back to 06, you know, we had a very young base, and we were really appealing to those, you know, teens and kids who were texting. Now I think texting has, you know, it's certainly expanded to parents and adults and more people. So we'll always have QWERTY. We'll continue to improve them, but we'll still continue to have, you know, our other cool phones like Slash and Slice for people who, you know, either feel they need the texting or are comfortable, you know, texting on a non-QWERTY keypad. But there's no question that you will be seeing, you know, improved handsets with more features and more capabilities, you know, this year and going forward.
Now, this next question, I'm not sure if you'll be able to answer or not, so I'm just going to fire away.
Okay.
Later this month, Sprint is going to have to abandon some of their airwaves. An FCC mandate, they're doing a swap, so it's going to be a temporary thing. Since you guys are an MVNO of the Sprint network, is this going to affect you guys at all?
It shouldn't affect us at all, and I may not know. I don't know the answer to that, in fact. But our contract is such that our coverage is in place and is nationwide on their PCS network, and shouldn't affect our coverage at all.
All right, and two-part question to wrap things up here. First, how pleased was Virgin Mobile overall with the You Rule campaign? And do you see similar ad campaigns in the future featuring oversized ads in metropolitan areas?
Well, we were very happy with the campaign and the way that it kind of launched. That was a kind of teaser campaign that launched in the New York City area, primarily what you're talking about, the large billboards and the bus shelter messages and stuff like that.
Yeah, I especially appreciated that they had all the different areas of town were customized ads.
You Rule obviously speaks directly to what we just talked about, that the customer, you know, has all the control and decides, you know, what they want to pay, when they want to pay, and how they want to pay, and what their usage is. So You Rule is still a very large part of all of our marketing campaign. If you go to our website, virginmobileusa.com. It's pretty integrated there. We love that campaign because it did really engage people. We had some people who were very angry at some of the tongue-in-cheek messaging that we had when we, you know, talked about people in Brooklyn or people on the Upper West Side.
I remember a Bed-Stuy joke somewhere in there.
Exactly. And, you know, we definitely enjoyed that. It was certainly virgin. You know, some people were annoyed. Some people thought it was great. We had people sending in emails with their, you know, actually pictures of their idea for a U-Rule ad that they had made up. So we're definitely continuing that. And while there may be some, you know, tweaks or changes to the campaign as we add different new initiatives and stuff, the umbrella of U-Rule is definitely going to be with us.
All right, thanks. Well, Jane, well, thanks for taking the time to talk to us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right, and once again, we're with Jane Wallace, Vice President of Corporate Communications for Virgin Mobile USA. Before we go any further, I'd like to take a few moments to appreciate U.S. Cellular, one of the featured providers on Prepaid Reviews. Now, we usually talk about consumer issues on the blog in the sense that we like to call out consumer issues from cell phone companies where they're not exactly being as fair as we would hope they would be in their treatment and in their advertisements. But U.S. Cellular, though, last week showed two kind acts of philanthropy. First came during the Iowa floods. Now, this is a huge issue. Some people are even comparing it to the Katrina disaster. It obviously hasn't gotten nearly as much national coverage, but it's still tough times for people facing flood in Iowa. U.S. Cellular went out of their way to provide free phone calls at the retail outlets so that families could stay connected and know what was going on with other members. And really, that's one of the best things they could have done short of going out and rescuing people themselves. Then, the very next day, we had news of U.S. Cellular working with a child safety program involving cell phones. This might seem like par for the course, as we always see companies like Verizon making efforts to educate children about the safety of cell phones. But U.S. Cellular sent representatives from their company to talk to these kids and their parents about the dangers and the advantages of using a cell phone. They even dressed up one of their employees as a giant cell phone to teach the kids the importance of dialing 911. So hats off to U.S. Cellular for doing some good in the wireless world over the past month. Now, we all know that prepaid is a bit more popular overseas than it is in the U.S. It seems that because of the way the wireless industry developed in Europe, they became more accustomed to having freedoms that we're just not used to seeing in the U.S. with our two-year contracts and subsidized phones. Over there, they tend to have a closer connection to their phones, you could say. A lot of Europeans always have the newest phones because it's important to them, and because they're not locked to a certain provider who's supplying them with phones. Of course, cost does become an issue. We know that unsubsidized phones in the U.S. cost an arm and a leg, and most people opt for service extensions in order to get a subsidy on them. The environment is a bit different in Europe, though, and while we're talking about a different environment in Europe, obviously MVNOs is going to come up. There are a number of successful MVNOs in Europe, and it seems like new ones are coming about all the time that are filling certain niches that the carriers themselves can't cover. And when you talk about MVNOs, and especially MVNOs in Europe, there's one name that should come to mind, and that is Alex Besson. And we sit down with him to talk about the state of MVNOs in America. I'm joined now by MVNO guru Alex Besson, founder of the Besson Group. How are you doing with Alex?
Good. Thank you, Joe.
Well, it's good to have you on. We've written about you a lot in the past, and it's finally it's good time to sit down and talk to you about the MVNO situation. Now, over the weekend, we heard some rumors involving Helio and Virgin Mobile. They've been circulating for about a month now, and they're starting to get really heavy now. And it looks like Helio is another MVNO that's going to go under. Previously, you have said that a greater level of market saturation would help MVNOs strive in America. Can you elaborate on that statement a little bit?
Yes. Before I jump into that speculation about the 100% saturation, you look at the Western Europe, Northern Europe, and Scandinavia, Joe. In the countries such as Denmark, with 122% penetration. Netherlands, 109% penetration. Finland, 110. Sweden, 112% penetration. In those countries, you see many more MVNOs that actual in a less penetrated countries. The reason is that when the network operators cannot acquire subscribers in a increasingly over the, let's say, 1 to 2 year period, what happens then? They need to force those to open their networks to MVNOs, to wholesale businesses, right? When the retail business slows down, they are opening their wholesale business to MVNOs. So we witnessed that in those countries. So in the U.S., we are looking at the 85% penetration here. And still, we are not there. I suspect some maybe year to 2 years time period for the network operators to open their networks, okay, including the WiMAX or 4G networks.
All right. Do you think part of the reason they're not opening up their networks to MVNOs now is because of their own prepaid offerings?
No. The first reason is they try to acquire the subscribers on their own. But when they cannot, when the subscriber acquisition slows down, they need to open it for the wholesale business.
All right, so you're saying it's going to be a necessity that they won't be able to get subscribers on their own, so they're going to almost need to have these MVNOs in place in order to get new subscribers.
Exactly, so that's what I'm talking about. Yes.
All right. It seems like many of the MVNOs we're still seeing that are still in existence, TracFone, Virgin Mobile, even Boost, even though they're not really an MVNO at this point, they were all early adopters in the United States. Do you think that, you know, say, TracFone had entered the scene in 2004 instead of around 2000 with the same business model, they would have found the same level of success?
TracFone and Virgin are a little unique in their business models, per se, because TracFone, the way they have implemented their businesses, they negotiated multiple arrangements with the operators. There are about 30 operators they are working with, okay, on two different technologies. So Virgin, you know, the way they enter the market, joint venture with Sprint, again, is unique in that fashion. So they are more like a high-end prepaid MVNOs. I am talking about niche prepaid MVNOs. You know, I'm talking about SIM only, for example, if you look at GSM technology, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Or look at the mobile advertising-based MVNOs, okay? Eventually, you know, when you reach the 100% penetration, you know, who is going to, I mean, basically, you know, pay for the voice? It can be maybe free of service, you know?
Are you familiar with the MVNO Blike at all over in the UK?
Of course, of course.
Do you think that is a model that can be spread to other regions, possibly the United States or Canada? Or do you think it's kind of a, they're the ones who got it right and it'll be very difficult for others to do it?
Yeah, I mean, U.S. is a great market for Blik. As you know, U.S. is one of the great countries in terms of advertising. We generate one of the highest advertising per user than any other country in the world. So I expect that eventually they might, you know, look into the U.S. market as they are entering expanding into other European countries as we speak.
That's great. Now, a lot of the successes we're seeing in the U.S. from MVNOs are coming on a smaller scale. On prepaid reviews, we tend to talk a lot about Kijiji and Page Plus. Does serving a smaller but more dedicated audience, is that going to be a big trend we're going to see at MVNOs as we see more of them in America in the coming years?
Yes, there are smaller MVNOs than in Kijiji or the Page Plus. I mean, maybe there are smaller Hispanic MVNOs out there, like there are 4 or 5 of them that you maybe don't hear about it in the market, but they are running about 10,000 to 20,000 subscribers today, you know? So I think what you're going to see, I mean, you will see more niche players, you will see mobile data MVNOs, that includes M2M, you know, also on the business side, you know, the market is still not penetrated at all.
So have you been seeing some people coming to your corporation for consulting now on MVNOs in the U.S., or is it at a slowdown period and you expect to see more in the future?
U.S. business is slow at the moment, but that, I think that will change in the near future.
That sounds good. Well, thanks for taking the time to talk to us, Alex. Talking about MVNOs is always a tough situation, and you seem to know more about it than most people I know. So once again, thanks for coming on and talking to us.
Thank you for inviting me.
All right, and once again, we're with Alex Besson, founder of the Besson Group and an MVNO guru, if there ever was one. Well, that about wraps things up for this month's edition of the Prepaid Podcast. Join us next month when we will undoubtedly talk about the Virgin Mobile and Helio situation a bit further, as we might have some finalization on that front. But until then, happy prepaid calling. Have a good month, people.